Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
Change has come to America.
Believe it, believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show.
Turn up your mind.
She doesn't have the look. She doesn't have the stamina. I said she doesn't have the stamina. And I don't believe she does have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina.
The quote was,
you
I
have,
just don't think
wait,
she has a presidential
look. Wait a minute,
Leslie,
you asked me a question. Did you ask me a question? You have to be able to negotiate our trade deals. You have to be able to negotiate, that's right, with Japan, with Saudi Arabia. I mean, can you imagine we're defending Saudi Arabia, and with all of the money they have, we're defending them and they're not paying? All you have to do is speak to them. Wait, you have so many different things you have to be able to do, and I don't believe that Hillary has the stamina.
Let's let her respond.
Well, as soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina.
The world, let me tell you,
believe
Hillary
me.
Has experience, but it's bad experience. We have made so many bad deals during the last... So she's got experience, that I agree, but it's bad, bad experience. Whether it's the Iran deal that you're so in love with, where we gave them $150 billion back, whether it's the Iran deal, whether it's anything you could... You almost can't name a good deal. I agree. She's got experience, but it's bad experience. And this country can't afford to have another 4 years of that kind of experience.
Obviously can't control his mind or his tongue.
Game, set, match. Yeah. Okay. So this is really weird. I listened to it because I was cutting audio. All right. So I was sitting in front of a computer listening to it. And Howard was watching it. And you walk away with two different, opinions about, not who won. I mean, it was perfectly obvious that Donald Trump didn't prepare. Donald Trump was rehashing all these things that he has said previously with, some editing to some of the claims that he's made along the way. You know, he's been throwing red meat out, at every little stop that he does. And then last night it was word salad. It just, fell all apart. So it's not like he won in any way. But at the beginning, it did sound, if you didn't know what the facts were, if you had no idea what's really gone on in this country, if you can't remember 8 years ago when Obama was sworn in and we were losing 800,000 jobs every single month. Oh, I know. It's a wild thing to say. 800,000 jobs, almost a million jobs a month, $17 trillion worth of personal wealth completely gone in this country. People being homeless all of a sudden after being homeowners for 15, 10, 20 years. Some people new homeowners, just, their houses in foreclosure. I mean, the whole economy imploded under W. The entire trickle-down experiment failed miserably. The Iraq war was a $5-6 trillion failure. All these things had happened. And if you forgot that, or if you don't remember that, or if you didn't know that, or you were living in some alternate universe or whatever, even then Donald Trump was not winning this debate, but he was slightly persuasive. If you weren't, I don't know who could be undecided after the $1 trillion worth of free media that Donald Trump has enjoyed. Have no idea. But, I thought that he sounded almost normal at the beginning. And she got under his skin quite quickly when she started talking about, your daddy lent you money, didn't he? Your daddy did. This is the way I would have done it. But of course, she was pure poise and he was pure poison. You know, I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. And the whole time she's calling for fact checking. The whole time she's going, fact checkers. And what was he calling for? He wanted us to call Sean Hannity. That was the strangest, wasn't that? That's when it was over for me. I mean, it was like, oh my God, he's flailing. The man is just losing his mind up there. I mean, it was just an amazing thing. They were talking about how it's been disproved that he was against the Iraq war. The Neil Cavuto interview that he referred to, I mean, everybody who cares about this stuff like me went and looked at it and listened to it. And he told Neil Cavuto that Bush should stop vacillating, basically. He said he should make up his mind. He should be, you know, like a leader and just go ahead and do it. That's what he was saying, okay? But when he started screaming, oh, you know who you need to call? You want to know the facts about whether or not I was really for or against the Iraq war? Oh, you need to call Sean Hannity.
That is a mainstream media nonsense put out by her because she, frankly, I think the best person in her campaign is mainstream media.
My question is, since you supported like to hear, it, why is your
I was
why
against
is your
the
judgment?
War. Wait a minute. I was against the war in Iraq, just so you put it out.
The record shows otherwise.
The record
but why,
not show
why was you, is your
the
judgment
The record
any...
shows that I'm right. When I did an interview with Howard Stern, very lightly, first time anyone's asked me that, I said, very lightly, I don't know, maybe, who knows, essentially. I then did an interview with Neil Cavuto. We talked about the economy is more important.
No.
I then spoke to Sean Hannity, which everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. I had numerous conversations with Sean Hannity at Fox, and Sean Hannity said, and he called me the other day, and I spoke to him about it. He said, you were totally against the war, because he was for the war.
Why is
and
your wait, judgment excuse me, better than
And that was before the war started. Sean Hannity said very strongly
say it again.
To me and other people, he's willing to say it, but nobody wants to call him, I was against the war. He said, you used to have fights with me because Sean was in favor of the war.
Oh, my God, say
and
it again.
I understand that side also, not very much, because we should have never been there. But nobody called Sean Hannity.
Oh, my God.
And then they did an article in a major magazine shortly after the war started, I think in 04, but they did an article which had me totally against the war in Iraq. And one of your compatriots said, you know, whether it was before or right after, Trump was definitely, because if you read this article, there's no doubt. But if somebody, and I'll ask the press, if somebody would call up Sean Hannity, this was before the war started, he and I used to have arguments about the war. I said, it's a terrible and a stupid thing. It's going to destabilize the Middle East, and that's exactly what it's done. It's been a disaster.
My reference was to what you had said in 2002, and my question was, why is your judgment any different than Mrs. Clinton?
Well, I have much better judgment than she does. There's no question about that. I also have a much better temperament than she has. You know, I have a much better... She spent, let me tell you, she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on an advertising. You know, they get Madison Avenue into a room, they put names, oh, temperament, let's go after. I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament.
Okay. So how many times did he say Sean Hannity's name? I wish I had the number for Sean Hannity. I'd call Sean Hannity. I would call him because he's the paragon of truth and virtue. Whatever Sean says, of course, that's got to be bankable. You know, take it to the bank. Sean said, but, you know, this is a lie. This whole thing was a lie. In the months before the war, okay, he made an endorsement of the invasion to Howard Stern. It was tepid. I agree. And if that's all there was, you could say, eh. Because he said, you know, when Howard said, are you for the invasion? He goes, well, yeah, I guess so. Okay? But then a few weeks later, he was on Fox News. And he said that George Bush was doing a very good job. And then he told the Washington Post, 2 minutes after we leave Iraq, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a revolution. The meanest, toughest, smartest, most vicious guy will take over. And then when they called him to find out, you know, whether he was still for the war or was he in opposition for the war, this interview that he cites, okay, he said he was impatient with Bush for not invading sooner. The quote was, quote, whatever happened to the days of Douglas MacArthur? He would go attack. He wouldn't talk about it. Donald Trump was just sick of everything being about Iraq and that George should just do it already and stop talking about it. That's how people know this was false. And then, you know, he says to Hillary, oh, you know, it wasn't so much that, you know, you went to Iraq. That I could understand, sort of, kind of. But the way you left, except that he also told Fox, well, he told CNN, he told Wolf Blitzer. He told Wolf Blitzer that what we do is we just leave. That's what we do. This was 2007. And Wolf Blitzer said, what would you like to do about Iraq? And he said, well, just declare victory and leave.
How do they get out of this situation? How do they get out?
They get out. That's how they get out. Declare victory and leave. Because I'll tell you, this country is just going to get further bogged down. They're in a civil war over there, Wolf. There's nothing that we're going to be able to do with a civil war. They are in a major civil war.
So, you know, it's scary to me because a lot of people don't know what the truth is of Donald Trump. They don't know what he has said before. They don't know he was in favor of the Iraq war. They don't know that he wanted George Bush to act faster than he did on the Iraq war. They don't know that he was for a complete troop withdrawal in 2007. That's when that little clip is from. That was March of 2007. He just wanted to declare victory and leave. You know, people don't know these facts. So some of what he said might have sounded good, but this is really where I think he blew off his chances. I think this is where he lost. I think this is where educated white women who were wondering if he was a racist, the whole section of that debate about race, Donald Trump just blew it. He blew it like, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Like a contestant, let's just say.
The birth certificate was produced in 2011. You continued to tell the story and question the president's legitimacy in 2012, 13, 14, 15,
yeah,
as recently as January. So the question is, what changed your
mind? Well, nobody was pressing it. Nobody was caring much about it. I figured you'd ask the question tonight, of course, but nobody was caring much about it.
No one cared.
But I was the one that got him to produce the birth certificate, and I think I did a good job.
Oh, my God.
Secretary Clinton also fought it. I mean, you know, now everybody in mainstream is going to say, oh, that's not true. Look, it's true. Sidney Blumenthal sent a reporter. You just have to take a look at CNN the last week, the interview with your former campaign manager, and she was involved. But just like she can't bring back jobs, she can't produce.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to follow up, and I will let you respond to that, because if there's a lot there, but we're talking about racial healing in this segment. What do you say to Americans?
Well, it was very, I say nothing, because I was able to get him to produce it. He should have produced it a long time before. I say nothing. But let me just tell you, when you talk about healing, I think that I've developed very, very good relationships over the last little while. The African American community. I think you can see that. And I feel that they really wanted me to come to that conclusion. And I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president, in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Trump. Thank you so much for doing a service for this country by insisting that America's first African American president was illegitimate. Thanks. Thanks to you, he produced it. Wow. If that didn't alienate every single one of the incremental increases, you know, the incremental voters that he's added to the African-American, I will vote for Trump people, okay. So the birtherism, that he did a service. Thank you so much. And then he downshifts into stop and frisk.
But stop and frisk had a tremendous impact on the safety of New York City. Tremendous beyond belief. So when you say it has no impact, it really did. It had a very, very big impact.
Well, it's also fair to say, if we're going to talk about mayors, that under the current mayor, crime has continued to drop, including murders. So there
is... Wrong. You're wrong.
No, I'm
murders
not.
Murders are up.
You're wrong.
All right, you check.
New York has done an excellent job. And I give credit. I give credit across the board, going back two mayors, two police chiefs, because it has worked. And other communities need to come together to do what will work as well. Look, one murder is too many. But it is true. Important that we learn about what has been effective and not go to things that sound good that really did not have the kind of impact that we would want. Who disagrees with keeping neighborhoods safe? But let's also add, No one should disagree about respecting the rights of young men who live in those neighborhoods. And so we need to do a better job of working again with the communities, faith communities, business communities, as well as the police to try to deal with this problem.
This conversation is...
All right. Now, I thought her answer was tepid. See what I mean? This is not what my answer would have been to some... I would have, you know, I mean, she did point out in another segment that stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional. However, Donald Trump insisted that it was ruled unconstitutional by a judge who who doesn't like police.
Stop and frisk was found to be unconstitutional, and in part because it was ineffective. It did not do what it needed to do. Now, I believe in community policing, and in fact, violent crime is one half of what it was in 1991.
Hello?
Property crime is down 40%. We just don't want to see it creep back up. We've had 25 years of very good cooperation, but there were some problems, some unintended consequences. Too many young African American and Latino men ended up in jail for nonviolent offenses. And it's just a fact that if you're a young African American man and you do the same thing as a young white man, you are more likely to be arrested, charged, convicted, and incarcerated. So we've got to address the systemic racism in our criminal justice system. We cannot just say law and order. We have to say, we have to come forward with a plan that is going to divert people from the criminal justice system, deal with mandatory minimum sentences, which have put too many people away for too long for doing too little. We need to have more second chance programs. I'm glad that we're ending private prisons in the federal system. I want to see them ended in the state system. You shouldn't have a profit motivation to fill prison cells with young Americans. So there are some positive ways we can work on this. And I believe strongly that common sense gun safety measures would assist us right now. And this is something Donald has supported along with the gun lobby right now. We've got too many military-style weapons on the streets. In a lot of places, our police are outgunned. We need comprehensive background checks, and we need to keep guns out of the hands of those who will do harm. And we finally need to pass a prohibition on anyone who's on the terrorist watch list from being able to buy a gun in our country. If you're too dangerous to fly, you are too dangerous to buy a gun.
Now, that to me was the end of the thing. Okay. For me, he had lost the entire law and order argument. He had lost it because stop and frisk doesn't work. The New York Civil Liberties Union looked at 12 years worth of police data and found that young Black and Hispanic men were targeted for stops vastly higher in proportion than white men. And yet, the number of guns that were recovered between 2004 and 12 out of 4.4 million stops, 1% of Black people, 1.1% of Hispanic people, and 1.5% of white people. And yet, 87% of all the stops were against people of color. So we know that was racial profiling, and we know it didn't work. And we also know that the crime rates were going down in New York before Giuliani even became Giuliani in New York, before 1994. And you know why? Because there was a drop in unemployment. There was a decrease, 39% unemployment decrease because of economic growth.
Clear for takeoff.
Randy Rhoads Air Force.
Air Force.
RandyRhoads.com.
Air Force.